Good morning. What a great day to be here, right?
Amen.
Yes, you'd rather be here than the emergency room. No, it's just great. Got Poppy with you? Got a new visitor here with us, Poppy. She's Kirsten's little friend. It's her little doll baby. We got introduced today. Well, I thought I saw Everett in here. Did I see Everett come in, sneak in? Everett's back with us today. Good to have Everett. Yeah. And we missed him. He's been ill for a little bit, fighting the battle, but it's good to have him back with us today. And we got our Florida people back, some of them. And so it's just a great, great day to be here. This week, few things happening. One is the Primetimers. If you like the Primetimers meal, that'll be Wednesday this week. Donna's making baked ham and all the things that go with that, I suppose, so I'm sure it's going to be good. So be a part of that, the fellowship and dinner, and then we usually incorporate prayer meeting into that, not too awfully long, but kind of incorporate prayer meeting into that. If you're a part of the Missions Commission, that will be following that. We'll have the missions meeting. And then if the ladies are having their Bible study that evening, so if you're a lady involved in all those things, you're going to be busy that day. Be a good day. Then, of course, the men's breakfast will be this Saturday at 8:30. We'll have our men's breakfast here at the church. So be a part of that if you can. Also been asked to tell you to these emergency cards. They're just something the church tries to keep so we know emergency contact if something would happen to you while you're here. We do try to keep as much as we can keep our people safe. And so if you'll make sure you fill one of those out, they're on the table right there. There's a box to deposit them in, and it'll just give us that much information if something would happen, somebody we would happen to have to call somebody or something. The other thing I want to say is the church will be closed tomorrow for the parking lot in the church because of the eclipse. We didn't know what kind of situations that might put us into, so we decided just to close the parking lot tomorrow in the church. So if you need to get a hold of, you have to contact one of us at home and won't be able to reach us at the church. You know, tomorrow, a big thing happened at that eclipse. I was talking to the kids about it, and one of the children said they was a little bit afraid of it. And, it's looking at the sun and might hurt her eyes and all that. And, of course, if you happen to look at it, make sure you have your glasses on. I'm going to tell you that, everybody. Make sure you put those special glasses that are made for that situation. But, that's something that happens periodically in different parts of the world. It just happens to be our time that will be tomorrow. And a lot of people will come to Ohio, they say, and during that, in that corridor, that space, I don't know how wide it is, but come down from Cleveland. I don't know where it ends up down there. I think all the way to Cincinnati. But that corridor of Ohio, they said there'll be a lot of people visiting. And at that time of the day, there'll be a lot of people looking up, And I think about it, and there's going to be another day, a bigger day, a greater day, a more important day, when every eye will look up, and every eye will see the Son, the Son of God, coming down. And that'll be a great day, won't it? So enjoy tomorrow, but know there's a better day ahead. God bless you. Thanks for being with us.
Let's stand and sing, shall we? Ancient of Days.
Shall you glad your glory ever be shown?
You could be seated.
Beautiful Lord, wonderful Savior, I know for sure all of my days are held in your hand, crafted into your perfect plan. You gently call me into your presence, guiding me by your Holy Spirit, teaching and all to live all of my life through your eyes. I'm captured by captured by
aren't you glad God's in control this morning? Let's pray, shall we? Father, we covet your presence here today. We're in your house, but we know that where two or three are gathered, wherever, there you are in the midst of them. Lord, we praise you that you're here. Work on our hearts. We pray that we'll let your Holy Spirit run free today to show us what we need to know. Again, we praise you for what you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, good morning. Happy Sunday. We have Happy New Year, don't we? Happy Christmas, and we never say Happy Sunday, but Happy Sunday. We have the eclipse coming up. It's okay. It's not going to be a big deal. Hopefully it's not a big deal. It's just the sun getting blocked out for a few seconds, but it's a big event for a lot of people. We We're supposed to get a lot of people in the area. Whether we do or not, I'm not sure, but we're preparing as a church to do that. We talked about leaving the parking lot open, but we were afraid about getting people camping and doing all kinds of things on the property that shouldn't be done, and it's an insurance liability. So we have the parking lot closed off at least for that time, and then it'll be open again on Tuesday. So if you're wondering why it's closed, that's the reason. It's because of liability. We're not sure, you know, if somebody comes and does something on the property, we might be liable for that. We had thought about leaving it open, having kind of an open thing for people to come and see, but nobody wanted to volunteer to be here 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So we closed it. If you want to volunteer for that, you can raise your hand, and we'll have you here, and we'll leave it open. But otherwise, we're going to keep it closed. So just make sure you have your glasses on. I think you can also use a welding helmet. I think when it happened years ago, I think I used a welding helmet, but I can't remember if you can do it or not. So Brian can tell you. He probably has all the specs on that. So he'll let you know if you have the right shield in there for that. So have a good week this week.
Yes.
Oh, one person did. That's good. That was more than last week.
Oh,
okay. Well, be louder. Two people had a good week. I worked on a car, but it was okay. It was fun. That's my every weekly thing. My daughter's window motor cord broke, so she's driving to go to the gym. She said, "My window's coming down. It's going down further. It's all the way down now." I said, "Come home and I'll look at it." So we ordered a new piece. But you know what's neat about that is, years ago I worked with a guy. We would go to the junkyard and get parts for missionaries, and send them to them. So the junkyard let us get them for free, and I took out probably, I don't know how many window motors. So I'd already done that before, so it wasn't a big deal. And then Mary Frances had a friend that had her window break. The motor didn't work or something, so I had to go there and put a screw in to hold that up until she got it fixed. But the thing was that I've done it before, so God prepares ahead of time for those kind of things. You know, you just take the panel off and take it out, and somebody else might be freaked out. But to me, I'm like, yeah, I've done this a lot of times. Not a big deal. So I think it's great how God prepares us in life for things we don't even know are coming later on. Circumstances that you went through, hard times you went through that you didn't think you could make, and then you made it through, and you're like, yeah, I've done that before. I know God's faithful. He's going to help me through. And he helps us with all kinds of things, our health, our houses, our cars, our kids, all kinds of things he helps us with that we can trust him in. You know, those big times. Go through the small times and trust him in those times, and the big times don't seem as big. But some people wait until the big times and they freak out and wonder if God's going to help them out. But we know God's always going to be there, always helping us out. So anybody have any praise or prayer requests to share this morning? Chris. This is Chris. If you don't know Chris, this is Chris Francis. Not Francis Chris, but Chris Francis.
I got some news this week. I have to have hand surgery on my right hand. And Walmart's not accommodating me for 6 weeks. I might have to be off work with 6 weeks without pay.
So let's pray for Chris for not only the surgery, but that he'll get finances over those 6 weeks. You can't hardly go a week without money, let alone 6 weeks.
I'd like to ask for prayers for my brother, Les Hill. He's fighting cancer, and it was in remission, and now it's came back full force.
Okay, Les Hill.
I've been having conflict with my roommate. She moved out this week. Praise the Lord.
I'd like to thank everybody for all the cards and prayers and visits during my 3 months, mostly in the hospital. And as most of you know, I'm getting ready to move next door in the next couple weeks. And I'd like to thank the people that has come and helped me pack, and a crew's coming next Saturday to move all that stuff. I get possession on Wednesday. So think of me while we go through all this. It's kind of hard to sit back and watch everybody else do my work, but thanks again.
I've got a brother. Well, I've got four older brothers. One of them, his wife is having some health problems. They found some blood clots in both legs, and a mass on her pancreas while they were looking at those. So they're not sure if they're able to operate on it. So just if you guys could pray for that, please.
Most of you know Fran. I seen her yesterday. I go see her probably three, four times every week. She's doing a lot better, and she yesterday she was just bubbly. She was just in great spirits. So, and also I'm having complete knee replacement surgery on the 29th of this month. So not only pray for Fran and her health and pray for me that I'll get over this eventually. So thank you.
Need to ask Kathy because she knows the secret to getting over surgeries. So. Yeah.
I just wanted to say we're excited that my niece Elizabeth and her husband Philip and their three kids are here, and it's Micah, Kaylin, and Eliana, so their youngest is the one that you have all been praying for. So you can put a face with the name, and thank you for all your prayers. She is, I hope I'm saying this right, she's doing better because she's off one of the medicines, but she is not in remission, so she still needs prayer.
I want to thank everyone for praying for my mom this week. Some of you know she was in the hospital for 6 days this week, and she had pneumonia and a UTI. She's 99, so it was kind of scary there for a while. She was out for like 3 or 4 days. They couldn't get her to come to, and of course they pumped her full of antibiotics, and the doctor was very optimistic, so we're going to save her, and she did. And it was strange. We went around every day, and mom would be out. And the fourth day I went in, it was the fourth or fifth day I went in, and expecting her to be a lot worse, she was set up in the bed, and she says, "Hi, Sandy, you look nice today." So I praise the Lord for that, because I was so overjoyed, because I was really, you know, thinking, oh, this is probably it, you know. So I thank God for that, and thank you for your prayers.
I asked for a prayer for my brother's girlfriend. They live in Wisconsin, so I'm only supportive through prayer and phone, but she had to she has her cancer, and now she developed pneumonia this week, and she has multiple blood clots. So if you guys could continue to pray for her, they've been together for like 20 years, so it's very hard on my brother. I know he just tries to hide it, but for him to be calling me as much as he has, I know it's weighing on him. So if you guys can continue to pray for Cassandra Ritz, that would be great. Thank you.
Praying for Lydia Thomas as well. She's on our Zoom this morning, I think. I don't know if you know her. Roxanne Finley knows who that is. And Pat McAvoy, she's in the assisted living center. I think she's going to be there for a while. So if you get a chance to call her or visit, she's up for that. Can you pray for Donna Wharton as well? So we have a lot of other ones. It's hard to keep track. Look at your list in your bulletin. There's a whole list in there of people to pray for. So, and all the ones mentioned this morning. So let's just pray this morning. Father, we thank you for allowing us to be here this morning. We're in a nice, comfortable place. We know a lot of people don't have a church to worship in that's warm or that's cool in the summer, but they're worshiping wherever they are. And it's glad, we're glad that we can worship you no matter where we are, what we're doing, what state we're in, what circumstance we're in, we can still worship you. So we think of these requests that were mentioned this morning. You know every single one of those requests that were mentioned. We ask you to be with them, whether it's a physical need or a healing or a surgery or whatever it may be, Lord, that you can take care of that. We ask you would be with those who are not here this morning. Just guide and direct them, those who are not feeling well and those who may be working or out of town, whatever it may be, that you'd be with them. And we just pray you'd send them just an encouragement this morning, Lord, a peace. Let them know that they're being prayed for today. Lord, we pray for each and every one here. Lord, as we go through life and go through days of struggles and trials and wonder what in the world's going on in this country, in this world, and we know that one day, Lord, we won't have to worry about that. One day we'll be in heaven with you, and we just pray for those who don't know you, that they would come to know you in a personal way, be with our families. They may know you in a deeper way. We pray for any conflicts that are being involved, that they'd be gone, that you would work in those situations, those who need finances, need homes, those who need a place to stay, whatever it may be, that you would be with them as well. And they would find a place to worship you, that they would find you, Lord, in their circumstance that they're going through. Be with us this morning, Lord, as we worship in word and in song. And help us to be representatives of you and thankful for what you've given us and for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name.
Lord, you are God of the morning light, master of the shining sun and ruler of the night, God of the earth and God of the sea, voice that fills creation from the mountain's majesty. Lord God of all, you know my ways, giver of breath till my dying day. Almighty God of all I can see, build up your kingdom in me. Hold it in your hand. Be the God of all of me. And Father, take my life. Take everything I am. Keeper of my soul, God of all of me. Soul, in secret parts of me, there are places in my heart that only you can reach. Brighter shines my hope than the morning light. Deeper is my stain of sin than any dark of night. Father who rules all of earth and sea, reign over dreams that I dare not speak. Lord God of all, be God of these, rule every kingdom in me. Hold it in your hand. Be the God of all of me. And Father, take my life. Take everything I am. Keeper of my soul, God of all of me. God of all of me. And Father, take my life. Take everything I am. Keeper of my soul, God of all of me. Keeper of my soul, God of all.
I was thinking about working on cars, because that relates to real life. Because the thing is, when you're done working on your car and it works, you're satisfied, aren't you? Reminds me of what the Lord's going to think when his work here is finally done and we're all in heaven someday. He's going to be like, yeah, it's done, it's finished. Like he said on the cross when he paid the price for us. That's why working on things like that, physical things, when you can get finished, it's a enjoyment of things. It's done. You did it. You can see that it works. You don't always get that in life with people, though, do you? Some people are a work in progress the whole time, and you never really see the end of it. Especially if you're a grandparent, you know, you pray for your grandkids, and you hope they accept the Lord, but sometimes you don't see that, but maybe years later, you'll see the result. So don't give up on praying for your family, for your kids, because you'll see a result at some point, whether you're here or whether you're there. Maybe you'll see what happens. Well, we left off last time with Jesus talking to the woman at the well, and he went to Samaria, a place where most Jews avoided, even if they had to go further to get there, to do it around it, because they didn't want to go through it. He talked with a woman, which was not done in those days, especially if she was a Samaritan woman. Tells her things about her life that nobody else could know. And he offered her living water and told her who he was. So that's what we talked about last week, basically. Now we pick up in verse 27. It said, just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one would ask, what do you want? Or why are you talking to her? So it says just then. That means right then, at that moment or after what was going on. The disciples came back from grocery shopping, right? And what do they see? They see him talking to a woman, but not just a woman, a Samaritan woman. And they had some questions, but nobody wanted to ask him. You ever been in that situation? You had questions, but you didn't want to ask the question, like, oh, I don't know, I probably shouldn't ask. I really shouldn't. I'm just kind of scared to do this. The first question they wanted to ask is, what do you want? I don't know what that means for sure, but it appears to me they're asking, what food did he want? What do you want? They came back. What do you want? Second question was, why are you talking to her, a Samaritan woman? So these are the questions they wanted to ask but didn't dare ask. I mean, you don't question the Messiah, do you? You don't question him, say, what are you doing? He's like, what do you mean? I'm doing whatever I want to do. Why are you asking me? I'm in charge. You ever have a boss like that? You don't question the boss because they know everything. And even if you know the answer, you don't question them because they're the boss. But Jesus wasn't that way. He didn't have that attitude. They could have questioned him. And later on, he does talk about it. But so they were probably kind of afraid, intimidated. They didn't want to ask him what was going on. It says, then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to town and said to the people, come and see a man who told me everything I did. Could this be the Messiah? So then, again, is that word. After the conversation, disciples showed up. The woman left. Makes you wonder, you know, why did she leave? Why didn't she just stay there? Why didn't she talk to these people? Maybe she was intimidated because a whole group of guys came up, right? Go to Walmart, you get that feeling. This whole group comes up like, what are you doing here? All these people around me. My wife hates Walmart for that reason. She doesn't like it. It doesn't bother me. They don't do anything. They don't say anything to me when I'm there, but I guess she doesn't like it there. I've heard people say the same thing with groups or certain people that are there. I don't feel comfortable. So maybe her being a woman and a Samaritan didn't feel comfortable with all these Jews coming up either. So we don't know for sure. But we're guessing that she left because she felt uncomfortable. Was she excited at what Jesus said? We can imagine that she was. How do we know she was? Because she forgot what she was there for. She left the water jar and took off. Do you ever get into a situation where you're doing something, you get so excited you forget what you're doing? Or you leave something behind and you say, where did I put that now? I can't find that thing because I got onto something else. So she was probably excited because of what he said to her. She left her water jar because she had a plan to come there at midday when nobody else would be there. Maybe she was ashamed of her lifestyle. She was on not husband six, but she had husband five, and this was the next guy in line. This would be number six. And so she went in the middle of the day, maybe hoping nobody was there, but she ended up going there to get water, talk to Jesus, and then she forgot what she was doing because she was so excited about the news that she heard. Her physical need was overshadowed by her spiritual need because Jesus told her things that nobody else could know. So you can imagine what she's thinking. How in the world does this guy know me? I've never met him before. He's not from here, but he knows all these things. And then remember, she talks about the Messiah, and he says, I'm the one you're talking to, basically. I'm him. He offered her living water, which is basically salvation, and even told her who he was. So what did she do? She wanted to go tell everybody else. What happens when you find out something exciting or something good that happens? You want to tell people, right? You don't want to keep it to yourself. Hey, I found this great deal. Hey, this new thing is opening up over here. Hey, I just found out. There's all kinds of information out there that we know that we share with others. So she wanted to tell everybody else. The interesting thing as well is she didn't think about her position or being ashamed or whatever. She went to town among the people and told them about Jesus. So she forgot about everything she was worried about before. What are they going to think of me? Why am I going at noon? You know, that kind of thing. She forgot about her position in society because her spiritual joy and excitement overshadowed that. It was greater than caring about who she was or what she was experiencing. She even asked them, could this be the Messiah? So she says to them, could this be the Messiah? This woman is telling them. Doesn't it seem odd that it was a Samaritan woman who was witnessing for Jesus and not the disciples? Wouldn't you think the disciples would be in Samaria telling everybody about all this? Maybe they were inexperienced, I'm not sure. Maybe they weren't ready to do it yet. Maybe because the disciples were new and would gain boldness later. We knew later on they'd gain boldness, right? Because we knew later on a lot of them lost their lives as martyrs for Christ. So they gave their lives for their cause. But what do we learn from this? Anybody can be a witness for the Lord. So if you say, well, I can't do that, go look at this woman. Right? She had all these husbands. She had a bad reputation pretty much. She was in the town. She went to the well at noon or around that time of the day because she didn't want to be around people. And yet she was the one who went to the people in town and said, this is what he told me. Could this be the Messiah? She's witnessing to people around her, not thinking about, I can't do this. She was so excited about what she heard, she wanted to tell everybody she found. How do we do that? Hello, my name is Bob, what's yours? That's not very difficult, is it? Don't tell them your name is Bob if it's not true. You don't want 35 Bobs out there. Hey, I just met Bob last week. I met Bob. No, tell them your name. Hey, what's going on? Something like that. And then just have a conversation. And if God leads you into something, you can invite them to church. You can tell them about your life, what God's done for you that day. You can tell them that you just missed being in an accident and God protected you, all those kinds of things. Jeff talked about that this morning. Somebody tried to run him over this week, and he just missed by, less than a foot. Ran through a barricade. Barricade hit him in the head. You can ask him his whole story. He'll tell you what's going on with that. But that wasn't luck. I think God intervened and said, Jeff, it's not ready for you to go yet. I'm going to protect you. So Jeff could tell that story. Hey, you know what happened to me last week? God protected me because this happened. Something as simple as that can be a witness to somebody else. I've been praying about this, and this is what happened. Or I'm going through this situation, and I'm going to trust God for this. Those kind of things. They found something they wanted. And they want others to find it too. So we do that with deals, don't we? Hey, I found this special deal. Don't we do that with those kind of things? We should do it with Christ as well. Hey, I found something I needed, I wanted, and I want you to have it too. Doesn't mean you have to be in their face. It means you can just be honest. It has to start somewhere. It has to start with somebody. Why can't it start with you? Right? No matter what age you are, you go on the internet, you see little 5-year-old kids preaching God's word, memorizing complete passages of the Bible, whole chapters. And then we say, oh, I can't do that. You can. You can. Do you feel pressured this morning? Well, it's not me pressuring you. I'm just giving you information. So as a result of the Samaritan woman's testimony, it says they came out of the town and made their way toward him. So what can we get from that when it says they? That means more than one. Probably a lot. Probably a group that went out. Probably a number of people. All because the woman shared what she heard. She didn't say, oh, you're all sinners, and you're all she said was, this man told me things nobody else could know. Maybe he's the Messiah. And they said, wow, maybe he is. Let me find out. Then it says, meanwhile, his disciples urged him, Rabbi, eat something. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. And his disciples said to each other, could someone have brought him food? So the people are making their way out of town to see Jesus, but the disciples are focusing on the physical. They said, you need to eat something. You're probably hungry. Probably because they were hungry too. Like, he hasn't eaten all day. He needs to eat some food. How did he respond? I have food to eat that you know nothing about. What do the disciples say to him at that point? Did somebody bring him food already? Somebody already come and feed him? Because we don't know that he ate already. Did he have a secret stash somewhere? Is that why he's not eating? And then Jesus goes from the physical back to the spiritual and says, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. So he said his food basically is not physical food. Our bodies need physical food, but his food was to do God's will. That's what sustained him. That's what made him full. That's what helped him in his life, because that's why he was sent here, to share the good news, to testify, and to change lives. So he uses physical illustration that they can understand and makes a spiritual point. He says, don't you have a saying, it's still 4 months until the harvest? I tell you, open your hearts and look at the fields. They're ripe for harvest. So he's taking something they know about the harvest, and he's going to relate it to a spiritual harvest. He knows what time of year it is. The fields will be ripe in 4 months, but he lets them know he's not talking about wheat or barley. He's talking about a spiritual harvest. There's lost souls out there that need saving, and they can see that from Samaria. They need the good news. The field is full of people who need the gospel, and many are ready to hear, but someone needs to go and tell them. So people can be ready to hear, but if you don't tell them, they don't hear, right? People want the good news, want prayer, but if we never ask them, they're not going to respond. So he's saying the fields are ready for harvest. It says then, they went out of town and were coming to him, which means the people there. So the writer named H.V. Morton says this. He says, there's especially interesting to suggest about the fields white for harvest. He himself was sitting at this very spot at Jacob's well. As he sat there, he saw the people coming out of the village and start to climb the hill. They came in little batches. They were all wearing white robes. They stood out against the ground and the sky. It may be well at this moment people started to flock out to Jesus in response to the woman's story. As they streamed out in their white robes across the field, maybe Jesus said, look, see them now, the fields are ripe for harvest. Interesting, isn't it? That could have happened. We don't know for sure if that happened, but if they were coming in white, said the fields are ripe for harvest. They're white and ready for harvest. The white robe crowd was eager to see Christ and for God to reap a harvest. Verse 36 says, and now the one who reaps draws a wage and harvests a crop for eternal life. So the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the one sows and the other reaps is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work and you have reaped the benefits of their labor. Some say this illustration represents the Samaritan woman and Jesus as the sowers and the disciples as the reapers. So if there's a crowd that large, you think the disciples maybe have gone in there and shared with people as well? Tried to reach everybody personally? Don't we do that sometimes when you have an altar call and there's people at the altar? You have other people going and participating, so maybe he was talking about something like that. They're all the same team. They're all working together. Sowing and reaping are used regularly in the Bible. They refer to preaching the gospel and the effect it has. We talk about the parable of the sower, the wheat and the tares, and the vineyard. So sowing and planting would be the initial stage in preaching the word. Reaping is bringing in the harvest, seeing results and the changes in people's lives. So when you share something with somebody about Christ, that's sowing. When they accept Christ, that's reaping. Thing is, we don't do like, remember the Old West, what they would do in the Old West? The gunfighters put a little notch on their belt, you know? We're not putting notches on our belt because we don't care how many people we talk to. We just care that people get saved, right? It's not a competition. If you only ever share with one person your whole life, maybe that's what God called you to do. Maybe share with 300. We don't know. It doesn't matter. We're not sharing how many people we shared with. We just want to be available. If God gives the opportunity, that's when you share with them. That could be at a ball game. That could be anywhere. That could be laundromat. That could be in the store, Walmart. Could be anywhere, right? Anywhere you're supposed to be that you go. So Paul fleshes out the analogy, and this is what he says in 1 Corinthians 3. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God, and ye God's husbandry, you are God's building. He points out that we're all on the same team. We have all these churches in town. We're not in competition with each other. We're not trying to pull people from that church and this church. When we did the event, the community prayer meeting we had a little bit ago, it wasn't about one church. It was about all the churches being here, all praying together, all praying for salvation of souls. Not that, oh, I'm going to get these people, you're going to get these people. We're not in competition. A lot of times that's what happens. You get in competition with other churches or other people or other groups as to who saved so many, how many did you baptize, and those kind of things. That's not the point. The point is we sow the seeds and God provides the reward, doesn't he? He provides the work. He brings people in because we want to see a better society, don't we? Better people. And I don't know if Russ, I wasn't in here when he made all his announcements, but LifeWise is going to have their first class starting Friday. So they have 5 kids signed up to start with. It's going to be at Harvest Chapel. School board is still not cooperative, but we don't care because legally they can do it. So they're going to walk across the road, have their class, and then go back. So we have volunteers, we have teachers, we have a director. All the stuff is set in place for that to happen. So there'll be, I think, 4 classes before the year ends. That'll be a good way to end the year. Then it'll be a good kickoff for next year. So keep praying for that on Friday, that that turns out well for those kids that are coming, that they have a good time and that they learn about the Lord. It's not just a big party time. There is a teaching that they take place. They want them to have fun, but they want them to learn about the Lord as well. So they're talking about the scripture. They have a lesson plan. If you go on lifewise.org, you can see what the lessons are. It shows you on there all kinds of things. If you have information, you want to support that or volunteer, you can do that as well. So it says, many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told him everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them. He stayed for 2 days, and because of his words, many more believed. So back again, we go to the woman with the poor reputation, willing to testify, said many believed because of her testimony, because she shared what happened to her, what he knew about her. They were so intrigued, they wanted to hear more. They wanted to stay for 2 more days. Sounds like a revival, doesn't it? We don't have a lot of those today, do we? Where you'd have revivals for a week straight, people would come and have it in a tent or wherever it was and hear about the Lord. Now it's like, geez, there was a revival done. I've been here for 30 minutes. Are we finished yet? A lot of times our priorities, especially in the States, if you live in a different country, time is different than it is here. Here, you know, we think we have to have something going every minute of the day and minute of the day, and then you go to bed exhausted and you get up and you start over again. You're like, why am I so tired? Because we do so many things. So many things we can cut out of our life, right? We can cut so many things out that are not important, that are not really necessary, but we deem as being important and necessary. I like watching you're not going to like this. It's called the Hoof GP. I'm like, what in the heck is that? He trims cow's hooves, okay? So it's interesting to watch. Because he's fixing all these poor little cow's hooves and things. And I don't know how I started watching. I'm like, what am I watching this for? But it's intriguing to me to watch how he fixes them. But you know how much time you can waste watching stupid little videos like that? Going on Facebook or YouTube and you start watching like these. I've been on this for an hour. Those kind of things we don't really have to have, do we? I'd be much better spending time with my family doing something constructive than wasting my time on those kind of things. So think about your week when you go through things. What am I just wasting time with that I could stop doing? Even if you enjoy those things, are they profitable for you? Are they helping you? So I'm talking to myself too, I'm not just talking to you. I'm thinking, what am I wasting my time on? Go through and make a list. What am I wasting time on? And what could I be doing better that I'm not doing now? What could I do to make myself better as far as knowing God's word or sharing or helping people than what I'm doing now? Could I be out somewhere helping somebody else instead of doing that? Could I be making a phone call or sending a text or reading a book or whatever? Could I be doing something like that? You do need to take time, though, for yourself to have fun. You need to take time to have fun and just relax and just forget things. That may be baking for you, cleaning, cooking, sports, whatever it may be, something you want to do. You're building things, whatever it can be. You got to take time just to kind of have fun and relax a little bit. You can't always be on this high thing. In the States, we have this thing. It's, you know, you're on high alert all the time. Go to another country and you say you'll meet them at 5 o'clock, and by 7:30 they're there. And it's not a big deal. But time here is so succinct. This has to happen, this. Just take a little bit. They took 2 days off. They took 2 days off to listen to the Lord, to see what he had to say, because they were curious. They wanted to know. Jesus took his disciples to a place they didn't want to go, talked to a woman who they wouldn't bother to give the time of day to, who was from a group they didn't like, in order to reap a harvest for souls. You ever think about that? Disciples didn't want to go there. They didn't want to talk to her. They didn't care about the Samaritans. But he took them there to reap a harvest they wouldn't have reaped if they hadn't gone. Has he ever taken you to a place you didn't want to go to do what you didn't want to do? And then you found out that it was good. It was a great thing. It happened. Sometimes we avoid hardship because we don't want to go through it, but sometimes hardship is beneficial. I can't imagine having a knee or a shoulder surgery or any other kind of surgery like that, because you have to go through the pain of recovering. But when you're done, it's different. The pain's not there anymore. You had a nagging pain for months and years and whatever it is, but when it's gone, you went through pain for a while, but now it's over. But you had to go through the process to get the result you wanted to. The disciples had to go through the process of being with the Samaritans they didn't like and talking to a woman they wouldn't give the time of day to in order to see the Lord changed the community. With LifeWise, we've been going through this process for over 2 years now. Place we didn't want to go, people we don't like, necessarily, to reap a harvest that's going to happen in this school, starting with a group of 5 kids. So keep praying. You can imagine what's going to happen when these kids start telling their friends, who tell their friends, who tell their friends. And we see that this school system has changed, that this community, this city's changed. He gave us the example of how it's done. He talked to the woman at the well, who nobody else would talk to, and he shared with her the good news. And he changes lives. And they said to the woman, this is a neat part. We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man is really the Savior of the world. The woman had her life changed by Jesus, and in turn, she helped change the lives of the town. But how many times in our life do we think that our kids are going to accept the Lord just because we did? Doesn't always happen, does it? They've got to accept because they want to know. These people's lives were changed not because of what she said, but because they believed what he said. So when they hear the word of God, he can change them. He can change lives. Who can change lives? I'm just going to end with a story. He abused heavy drugs much of his life, starting with cocaine in 1982, and he switched to crack cocaine in the 1990s. By spring 2008, his drug use had gotten so bad that his 3 crack dealers got together and did something that defies logic. They attempted intervention. They were 3 of the biggest dealers in the cities, and he recalled, who at one time was living in a bad part of Minneapolis. They said I had been awake for 19 days straight. They refused to sell me again. One of them tried babysitting me until I fell asleep. His drug abuse finally ended in January 16th of 2009. By then, my pillow started gaining attraction. He'd been selling the product on the road at trade fairs and shows. He first began developing the pillow in the 2000s. When people tried the pillow, they loved it, and he knew he was on to something. He said, I knew that if I didn't quit that day, I wouldn't be able to make the most of what was happening in my life. I couldn't wait not even one more day. With that, he prayed. I asked the Lord to take away my desire to do drugs. I said, take it away, I'm all yours. And God answered that prayer. The next morning, the desire was gone. Everything was gone. I woke up and felt the most peaceful I've ever felt, and I've been sober ever since. From that moment on, Mike Lindell gave his life to God in 2009. MyPillow began experiencing one success after another. There are many miracles, one in a million kind of things, he said. At one point, MyPillow was hours away from shutting down. I owed $30,000 to a company that manufactured the fabric. The company gave me a few days to pay, or that was it. The only hope I had was a man that I met at a bar a couple weeks before. The man had said he knew investors, and Lindell went back to the bar hoping to find the man. He waited there for hours, and eventually the man walked in. I ended up meeting with the investors, he said. I was passionate. I didn't leave anything out. Incredibly, I walked out of that meeting with $30,000 put up for collateral. He said he used the fabric to make 500 pillows and sold them all. He went on to grow through a successful ad campaign that culminated in advertisements, New York Times, and in the Wall Street Journal. In late 2011 was a game changer, MyPillow infomercial. You've probably all seen that 300 times now about MyPillow. To pay for it, Lindell, his friends and family pooled $300,000. Said it became the number one infomercial in the world. In 40 days, it went from 5 employees to 500. In 40 days, from 5 to 500. Today, after several years of ups and downs and growing pains, Lindell and his company have hit full stride. The company now boasts 400 employees, manufacturing 25,000 pillows a day at MyPillow Factory in Shakopee. We run three shifts, 24/7. Most importantly, Lindell continues on the good that he said, I'm all yours, promise that he made to God. His proceeds go to support battling addicts, cancer victims, veterans, active duty military members, and others in need. At one point, the foundation found out that a man had been walking to work 14 miles a day, and he used the money from the foundation to buy the man a car. After beating his 25-year drug addiction and starting a multi-million dollar pillow company from nothing, this is what he had to say. With God, all things are possible. If God can do it, and Mike Lindell, he can do it for you. Because changed lives change lives. How many lives are being changed now because of him and his company? Because his life was changed first. So when God changes our lives, he allows us to change the lives of others, doesn't he? I just thought I'd share with you a story that you could relate to see how God changed a real person's life into what it is today and what he's been doing with that. Does that mean we all need to be multimillionaires to change lives? No. You can pick a person to mentor, right? Maybe it's a kid. Maybe it's an adult. Maybe somebody's in trouble. You decide just to come alongside and just be there with them when they're going through struggles. And that's how you can help. But if your life's been changed, then you can change others' lives with God. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word, for the stories that happened in your time, the stories that happened in our time, how we can see how you used your witness to change others and they used their witness to change others, and how we can help change lives through the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, help us not to be scared. Help us to be willing, asking you what opportunities we have out there to help people's lives get better, to help them know you. Give us strength in the tough times and joy, and give us peace through it all. In your name, amen.
Let's stand, shall we? I'm so glad that our Father in heaven tells of his love.
I am so glad that our Father in heaven tells of his love in the book.
Week, go forth. Jesus loves you. As Pastor has said, he's made a difference in your life, and our job is to go out there and tell. Amen. Thank you.